Coming up on the Branding Deep Dive podcast.
Ahmed, take it from your listener's point of view. You're talking about branding, and personal branding has a lot to do with the way we're perceived by others. Let's face it, that's what a brand is, how others think of a product, a service, or in personal branding, us. And the more effective you can communicate with others, the greater your brand will be. You look at Warren Buffett. He says you will increase your value to your company and yourself, your own career, when you become a more effective public speaker, because people look at you differently. You're more apt to get the raise, the promotion, considered for other things within your job that you might not be if you don't communicate well, because at some point, your communication skills matter to the company.
This is Ahmed Shima, and welcome to the Branding Deep Dive podcast. If you're new here, this is a podcast where we have in-depth discussions about what brands are doing well to drive customer loyalty and how you can take those principles and apply them to your own brand. Today, we're talking to Peter George. Peter is a public speaking coach and trainer. He specializes in helping executives, attorneys, entrepreneurs, and professional speakers be calm, confident, and credible every time they speak in public, whether they're presenting in meetings, appearing in court, or speaking on stage. Throughout his childhood, Peter dealt with a lisp and a stutter, and as a result, he grew up shy and introverted, avoiding as much communication as possible. When he got into the business world, he quickly realized how important the ability to communicate was and sought out help. Now he credits his public speaking coaches for much of his business success. Over the past 17 years, Peter has helped professionals from around the corner to those in Fortune 100 companies develop into speakers who understand how to craft and deliver presentations that engage, persuade, and inspire, ultimately helping them increase their impact, influence, and income. In this episode, we go deep into public speaking, transitions, body language, communicating concisely, and much, much more. This episode is a must listen for anyone looking to build their personal brand and communicate more effectively. Now, here's Peter George. All right, Peter, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on. For the audience that may not be familiar with you and your work, can you give a brief introduction to who you are and what you do?
Yes, my name's Peter George. I'm a public speaking coach, and I work with professional speakers, aspiring speakers, as well as executives who go out into the community and speak. I've been doing it for about 17 years. I've been a speaker on stage for about 35 years. And my greatest pleasure is helping other people not only learn more about public speaking and how they can present themselves in a way that resonates with their audiences, but more so watch the confidence build within them as they learn to do this.
Peter, I'm going to be honest with you. I've done quite a few interviews, and for some reason on this episode, I got more butterflies than normal. I think it's because of the topic, right? Public speaking. And I think everyone, they feel the butterflies in their stomach when, you're thinking about public speaking. It's one of the most common fears. I'm sure you know this better than I do, but I think where I wanted to start with is, how do you handle butterflies, right? Like how do you handle the nerves?
Embrace it. Don't try to get rid of it. You can't get rid of it, nor do you want to. That'd be like saying, hey, I'm a football player. I'm in my first Super Bowl, and I don't want to be nervous. Mm-hmm. Now, the difference is they relabel it. Most of the interviews you'll ever see with a football player before the Super Bowl or whomever it may be with something of that size and that importance in their life, they'll use the word, I'm excited. I'm so excited, but after that first hit, it'll be just another football game. And we call it nervous. It's the very same reaction in your body and your mind. So if you can embrace the nerves, not try to eradicate them, and use that nerves and marshal it and channel it to being positive energy, that's what we want to see when people are speaking in front of others.
So you're saying, a really important aspect of it is just relabeling in your mind how you react to the nerves, how you frame it to yourself, right?
Sure.
So instead of saying, go ahead.
I was going to say, think if you were going on a roller coaster and you're scared to roller coaster, go on a roller coaster, never been on one, you're nervous, you watch how fast they go and flipping and all those things. And then you go on one and say, I absolutely love this. Well, prior to going on it, you were nervous. The next time you go on, you're going to be excited, even though the same thing is happening in your body.
That's powerful. And I think one thing I want to touch on for the audience is, I think my audience might be thinking, why are we talking about public speaking here? You know, it's a branding deep dive podcast. We're talking about branding. I want to bring it down to, you know, people that are in small business. You have to deal with customers, or even at the workplace, you have to speak up. You know, I had a meeting today. We had a bunch of directors and VPs, and I had to speak up, and I got nervous there too, right? This is a skill that is universally used. And so I wanted to get your perspective as someone that actually works with people professionally on public speaking as to, you know, why is it so important for people to really take the time to learn public speaking?
Well, Ahmed, take it from your listeners' point of view. You're talking about branding, and personal branding has a lot to do with the way we're perceived by others. Let's face it, that's what a brand is, how others think of a product, a service, or in personal branding, us. And the more effective you can communicate with others, the greater your brand will be. You look at Warren Buffett. He says you will increase your value to your company and yourself, your own career, when you become a more effective public speaker, because people look at you differently. You're more apt to get the raise, the promotion, considered for other things within your job that you might not be if you don't communicate well, because at some point, your communication skills matter to the company.
Mm. There's two things there that you touched on that I want to dive a little bit deeper into. So the first thing is managing perceptions, right? And especially at the workplace, even with customers, it's really important that you make the right impression. Like, I'll give you the example of at work. Everything is work from home now, right? And so the impression you make with your bosses, with your, you know, people that have influence on your promotion is through these little windows of opportunity where you have to speak in a meeting, right? And so, when it comes to making sure that you're making the most of those, how do you actually make sure that, you know, how are you thinking through, like, hey, I have a meeting here, or I have a client discussion that I need to, you know, capitalize on and really make a good impression? What's like the framework that you have to go through to make sure that you are actually making the most of that opportunity?
Unfortunately, the first thing most of us think of when we have a speaking opportunity is, what am I going to say? And that's so unfortunate, because you can't base good communication on what am I going to say. Now, that sounds odd, but the first thing you have to consider is who you're speaking to. And then after you consider who you're speaking to, the result you want. Because if we just start speaking, we don't know where we're going with it. And very quickly, excellent communicators, even when they're asked a question, say in a meeting, will think, who am I speaking to? Why are they asking this? And what's the point I want to make? And now you can speak to that point. But it all starts with who you're speaking to. That doesn't matter if you're in a conference room of 10 across a desk with one, or in an auditorium with 1,000 people. Who's in the audience?
I think that is powerful, and that leads me right to my next thing that I want to talk to you about, is that, so when it comes to actually branding your small business and marketing campaigns, right? You mentioned communication. One of the things you often see with people that are not professionals is that they add way too much information in their marketing materials, right? And it just becomes confusing for the audience, right? And what you just said there is such a powerful, like, this is not something that just applies to business, right? This is even when you're talking to an audience, right? Like, simplify your message, understand who you're talking to. It's the same principle that you take, and then we just apply it to marketing and branding. And we just, you know, if you know who it is you're speaking to and what the message you want to communicate to them, then you can create an effective presentation, or you can create an effective marketing campaign, or whatever it is. It's the same principle. So I think it's really awesome that you highlighted that. I did want to transition into talking about transitions. I listened to one of your last Your podcast is pretty cool. So you, just for the audience that is not familiar with the Peter George, Peter George's public speaking podcast. I don't know if I butchered
public speaking with Peter George.
Public speaking with Peter George. Sorry about that.
That's quite all right.
For the people that are not familiar, he has a pretty cool format. So you have guest interviews once a week, and then you also have these little tidbits with practical tips that you can take once a week as well. So those are really short episodes, really useful. You can listen to them really quickly. Highly recommend if you are trying to learn public speaking, check that podcast out. The interviewees, are also experts in public speaking. So super helpful in getting their different perspectives on public speaking and how they handle the different things. But I want to talk about transitions, right?
Sure.
And I think me personally, I think this is a weak point that I have, especially in podcasts, right? Like I'm trying to have a conversation, or even when I'm having like a speech or whatever it may be, I have to speak in a meeting. I think the toughest part for me is actually, I don't know if it's just me, but I think I start speaking before I fully have formulated what it is that I'm going to say. And then I find it difficult to actually transition to the next point, right? So any tips or advice on effective transition?
Well, first of all, what you said that we speak before we think about what we're going to say is, it happens to most of us. Just like I was talking about before, we have to think of who we're speaking to first before we can decide what we want to say and what we want the result to be. Transitions are crucial. Think of transitions like blinkers on a car. We all get a little perturbed when the person in front of us takes a hard left and they hit the brakes and just turn and they didn't put the blinker. They didn't put it on. And we're saying, really? You know, the car doesn't come with blinkers? And it's the same thing when people are speaking. If I'm speaking about one topic and then I'm going to speak about another one, and we're not talking about being on stage necessarily, although it's true there, but in your case, maybe in a conference room. If we don't show people that we're switching topics or points, then what happens is they stick on the first one and we're on the second one. And all of a sudden they realize that what they're hearing doesn't jive with what they just heard. And that's when they realize finally realize you made a transition. And by that time, they're lost. And once someone's lost, they go home. So if I'm following you to your house and you don't put on a blinker and you take a hard left and I shoot right through the intersection and now I'm lost because I can't follow you to your house, just go home. It's the same thing with speaking. If you lose them, they just go home, which in our day and age is pick up the phone, look at text, answer email, whatever it may be, or daydream.
And then are there any, like on that note, what are some, I know you had a couple, what are some good ways to transition into like the next topic, right? Let's say you have an idea, but you just don't know how to make the connection from one topic to the next. Are there any things, any bridges that you can kind of build?
Yeah, it's fairly simple. It's just first, second, third, first, next, last, whatever it might be, A, B, C. It's just to show people you're changing. So it doesn't have to be elaborate at all. But then I have something I call a flashback transition. So you can sum up what you just said. In my first point, you learned this, that, and the other thing. And in my next point, you're going to learn A, B, and C. So you flashback to summarize, and then you give a little preview of the next one.
Got it. I'm going to try a transition here. So I'm going to change the topic here to something else. So I'm giving the turn signal to the audience. I hope you guys are getting that. But Peter, I want to ask you about how you got into public speaking in the first place. How did, what's your story? Like, did you grow up knowing you wanted to be a public speaker, or?
I wanted to do anything but. I grew up in a city, Providence, Rhode Island, with a stutter and a lisp. And that's not a great way to be popular in school. But I did learn that, one, if you kept your mouth shut and didn't speak, other than to your closest friends, and two, become fairly proficient in sports, you didn't get picked on. So I played baseball, football, and hockey. So I was playing sports year-round, and I played two out of the three fairly well. And that helped a lot. But the last thing I ever wanted to do was speak to people. And the stutter and the lisp, for the most part, even though they're both still there to some degree, subsided by the time I got to high school. But I still didn't want to speak, and for the most part, didn't. It wasn't until I got into the corporate world that I learned how necessary being able to communicate well was for my success. And after 9 years in the corporate world, I went out on my own and found out it wasn't necessary. It was absolutely essential. If I wanted to build my business, I had to go out and present well, which I did not. I was not capable of presenting well. So I tried to get better on my own. That really didn't work out that well. I couldn't get any feedback. I didn't know if I was doing something right, not doing it right. And it took an awful long time to progress. And then I went and got help. And I got group coaching, and then I got personal coaching. And that helped a great deal.
I think one of the things that is remarkable about your story is that you started with a stutter and a lisp. And man, I think that's just profound. And another thing I want to touch on just for the audience, and I think this is not a branding principle or anything like this, but I think it's important to highlight the importance of having mentors and coaches. I'll say firsthand is that I don't think, so let me back up. You cannot see your own weaknesses because you just don't have that external perspective. You don't see how you're actually reacting. You have your limited perspective of how you're, you know, doing things. You can't see how your body language is actually happening. And in public speaking, it's quite clear that it really helps to have someone giving you feedback. But this is something that goes for all facets of life. Or if you want to actually grow in any field, it's really important to find someone who is an expert, who knows what they're looking for and can point you in the right direction.
I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I have a financial coach, and a lot of us do. If you have a financial advisor that you meet with regularly, you have a financial coach. I also have a business coach, a gentleman who I admire a great deal. We've been sitting together monthly for years, and we work on the business side of my business. And, you know, I'm 63. A lot of people would say, what do you still have a business coach for? Because my business is always growing, and it's always has the opportunity to go in one direction or another. And he lends great advice, wonderful advice about which opportunity might be better, pitfalls I'd look for. So to your point, Ahmed, and I think it's 100% accurate, people should have coaches. There's this guy, Tom Brady. Some people have heard of him, some haven't. He's been throwing a football since he was 8 years old. Probably throws it better than anybody ever had in the NFL. He has six coaches.
That's powerful. Peter, the next thing I want to ask you is, I know you work with a whole spectrum of people in public speaking. What I want to bring it back to is for the people that are deathly afraid of public speaking, the people that will do whatever it takes to avoid situations like that. What are some tips? Let me back up. What are the things you see them doing wrong most often, and how can they fix those things?
Probably the thing that most of us do wrong in that instance is we think about us. What if I screw up? What if I forget what I'm going to say? What if they don't like me? What if it's not a good presentation and I look bad? We think about I. All we're really doing, and we're not getting into the expertise of using your voice as an instrument or body language to help foster and support your message, which both extremely important. Right now, we're just trying to get in the mindset of actually getting up there in front of people. Stop thinking about yourself. It's not about you. It's about your audience and the information or the feeling or the influence that you're transmitting to them. And public speaking isn't about talking. Public speaking is about getting people, whether it's 1, 10 or 1,000, to willingly open their minds so you can put your information in a way that will help their lives in one way or another.
Peter, this is the second time, I think there's a recurring theme, is that you have to change the way you're looking at things, right? Mm-hmm. So in that situation, most people are thinking about, oh, what'll they think about me and myself, and changing it from you to an act of generosity, right? You going up there is sharing something with the audience that maybe they haven't heard or, and they can benefit from. And I think that's powerful and motivating. And I think a lot of these things that I'm sure that the audience may be struggling with can be dealt with by just changing that perspective, right? So appreciate you sharing that. Next thing I wanted to talk about is your slogan for your company. I might butcher it right now. I had it in front of me, but it's be confident, but be calm, confident, and credible. I want to talk about the third one. Let's talk about all of them. So,
okay.
Let's talk about this, your slogan in general. So why did you choose these words, and what is it about, calm, confident, and credible that made you want to, you know, that's your, pitch, right? You know, that's your slogan that you picked.
Okay. Well, let's look at from the marketing side first. Threes matter. When you speak, when you promote, threes matter. The human brain reacts to threes. On top of that, I wanted an alliteration. So I wanted the hard C. I didn't care if they were all C's or not. It could have been a K in there, but I wanted the alliteration. And that's what most people want. They want to be calm when they present. Again, not to eradicate the nerves, but be calm, be in control. They want to be confident, which is what they get out of a public speaking training, by the way, is confidence more than anything else. And credible, because when you speak well and communicate with others, as we talked about before, your credibility goes up. It has no place else to go. So while a lot of people say, I have to get more versed on my product, more versed on my service, which they must. But if you can get more versed on public speaking as well and communicating with others, your stock rises. Probably higher than you ever thought it could.
So on the credibility piece, mm-hmm. I think what you said is powerful, that, you know, when you are actually communicating calmly and confidently, your credibility goes up. Why is that? Why is it that, I'm sure there's plenty of people in the audience that they know the subject matter that they're talking about, but they don't have credibility because they can't communicate it effectively. Like, is it that important nowadays to actually invest in, you know, in that credibility piece?
You know, More than ever. Like you said, a lot of us are working from home. That might be the greatest opportunity we have to move our careers forward. But I mean, I'll give you an example. 5 years ago, maybe, I was at a breakfast event. And before the event started, we were getting coffee, standing in line getting coffee. And there was a gentleman to my right, and I'm pouring my coffee, and he says, I don't need you. He said, excuse me? I don't need you. Okay. I said, but to tell you the truth, I have no idea what you're talking about. What he was doing was reading my name badge. And he said, I have no trouble getting up in front of people, and I know what I'm talking about, so I don't need someone like you. And I said, well, that's good. You know, I'm sure you're excellent. You don't need me. And I went on, got my coffee and sat down. But here's what I think about that. When you don't know how to communicate, when you know your product, but you don't know how to communicate it well in a way that it makes a difference to people, then you're really just showing up and throwing up. You're taking information you know and just vomiting on people and hoping that some of it sticks. Well, I've learned in life that most people don't like to be vomited on. So try not to do that. But the Japanese have a word, one word. When you know the words that you want to say and you have the guts to get up in front of people, the Japanese have a word for that. Do you know what it is?
No.
Karaoke. Oh. Think about it. You got the guts to get up in front of the crowd and you know the words you want to sing. That's karaoke. How many of us do that well? Unless your audience has had three beers and a shot, you're not that good. And it's the same thing when we're speaking. Just to have the guts to get up in front, which is not a big deal after a while, and then to know what you want to say, that's all you need? No. Nope. You have to be able to sing it. You have to be able to get Anybody can be a singer. It takes a great deal of work to become a rock star.
That's what I want to touch on there is that you brought up a story, and I think effective storytelling is so important in public speaking and influencing people, right? I was wondering if you could just touch a little bit on some best practices for storytelling, because here's what'll happen. What I've seen so many times is that people are thinking they're telling a story, but they're really just narrating a series of events. I went on vacation. We did this. We did this. We did this. I'm just like, when is this going to end? You know what I mean? So how can you actually tell a good story like the one you had? That, you know, you clearly had a point. It was funny. It had me engaging. And then like I'm sure I'll remember that story for weeks to come because karaoke, you know, you had that point that you were drawing from that story. So how can our audience, implement that in their own storytelling?
When we do what you just said about we're just telling a series of events, that's an anecdote. That's just what we think is a story, but it's not. A story has a couple of things to it. One is conflict. Think of it. The boy meets girl story has been in Hollywood for over 100 years now, right? Boy meets girl. Boy falls in love with girl. Boy loses girl. Boy gets girl in the end. How many people would go to the movies if it was boy meets girl, boy falls in love with girl, they live happily ever after? There's got to be conflict. Take any movie you love, there's conflict. Any book, any novel that you love, there's conflict. And the conflict has to progress. And the characters have to, if it's long, the characters have to build in one way or another. So when you're telling a story, let's say it's a corporate story. We were doing this. It was going along great. We had everybody in tuned. And then Peter comes along and starts to throw a wrench into everything. So from there, we had to sit down and discuss with Peter, are you all in or are you out, before we could move the group forward. He decided he was in, and we're 13% higher than expected.
That's really powerful. So conflict. I think it just reminded me, I watched the, I have a masterclass subscription, and I saw Aaron Sorkin's masterclass on storytelling. And the thing he says is the basis of storytelling is intention and obstacle. The same concept, right? Like conflict, yeah. Right? I watched a documentary like 2 weeks ago, and it just felt like the whole purpose of the documentary was to explain how great of a guy the person was. And I was, by like half an hour, I was like, when is this going to end? You know what I mean? Like there was no conflict. It was just like, oh, like, you know, he did this and then he was such a great guy. I was like, man, this is boring, right? You have to have a character.
Where did he screw up in life? Right?
Exactly. Right.
Where did he screw up in business? Where did he tick off half of society?
Exactly.
That's what we want to know, because that's a human being.
Yep. Yep.
So yeah, there's that obstacle, conflict, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, for the audience, just want to reiterate that fact is like you don't have a story until you have some conflict, right? That's right. The takeaway from that point. I have a couple more things, Peter, and I'm going to be completely frank here, just being completely transparent with you. This has been one of the harder interviews that I've done, and I'll tell you why. So generally, when I've invited people on, either I've known them pretty well, or they're people that like to talk on and on and on. Kind of how you were saying, like, show up and throw up, right? And right. So I've just been in the position where like I can just, okay, like, let me funnel your throw up a little bit and just kind of try to extract some pieces out here. But with you, you're showing up and it's very, you're answering the question directly. It's very concise. You're getting the point across. You're delivering the value. And you're like, all right, now what's next? And it's throwing me off because it's not what I'm used to. But it's refreshing, right? Like I think if you look at the corporate environment, you see like, man, I'm on meetings so many times where like people are, you can tell they're BSing, right? They're just saying, they don't know what they're talking about. And they think they actually sound smarter than they are because they're saying all this stuff. But and the reality is when you actually show up and you have a concise message and you're able to communicate with clarity, concisely, you actually do more for your credibility than, you know, rambling on and on about your whatever it is you're talking about. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, how do you deal with people that are a victim to this show up and throw up, right? Like they don't prepare, and then they end up rambling on and on trying to, and just, you know, stuff is coming out. Some of it's valid, some of it's not. How do you coach that? Like, how do you make sure, how do you take someone that loves to talk and get them to the point where you just answer the question?
A lot of it's repetition, and a lot of it's saying, okay, you spoke a lot there. What were you trying to say? What was the point you were trying to make? Well, it was this. Okay, with that point, what do you have to say to support it? Well, this. Anything else? Well, yeah, maybe this and this. Okay, say those three things. Then stop. Say those three things and stop. Public speaking and presenting, whether we call it a speech, a conversation, a talk, a presentation, is about what you can take away. So who sculpted David? Michelangelo? Can never remember. It was Michelangelo, right? If he left a block of granite, an 8-foot block of granite, rectangular, just sitting there, we never would have seen David. But he chipped away and chipped away and chipped away till he had perfection. Now, I'm not looking for perfection, but I am looking for connection. Don't look for perfection, just connection with the audience. And he chipped away and chipped away and chipped away. And that's what you do with a proper presentation that resonates with your listeners. Chip away at it so you can boil it down to what you actually need so they can best understand you and think or do what you want them to think or do or what they need to think or do. It's not adding on, it's taken away.
So it's about asking yourself, or if you're working with a coach, the coach would ask you, what was it that you're actually trying to say here? What are you trying to communicate? Are you communicating that with this and really just chipping away until you get the concise message there? So I'm assuming that's something as you keep going. And now that you're talking about it, I noticed myself doing this too. So I apologize. You're probably like, man, this guy, he's such a rookie.
No, great. If someone's never hosted a podcast, they don't know how difficult it can be.
Yeah.
So you're doing great.
Appreciate that. But is that something that once you get enough reps in, you'll automatically just be like, I mean, like you are right now, just concise from the beginning?
Yeah, you have a greater opportunity to be concise, but make no mistake about it, especially if I'm speaking to my wife. She'll say, man, you like to hear yourself talk. And, you know, so everybody does it every once in a while. It's just learning to rein it in and knowing that less is better. And I want your listeners to remember this. Quite often, I'll have a professional speaker say to me, I have this gig, they want me to speak for an hour, but this talk that they want is only 40 minutes long. How can I beef it up? And I'm thinking, beef it up. If at all, let's make it 35 minutes. But they're giving me an hour. Here's the point. For the most part, no one's ever complained that you spoke too little. They'll complain you spoke too long. They'll never complain you spoke too little.
That's a good point. Last thing I wanted to pick your brain on, and then, of course, we want to make sure the audience knows how to get in touch with you and find all your where they can find you. But before we get into that, I wanted to ask you about body language and just what are some body language best practices, or what are some things that newbies to public speaking should be mindful of? What are the common pitfalls you see and how to avoid them when it comes to body language?
Biggest problem with body language is it betrays us. Your body language is talking behind your back, and it's not saying good things. So for the most part, just listen to what mom told you. Mom was right. Stand up straight. Not with the chest out, shoulders back, military style. Just stand up straight. Put your weight on both feet. Don't cock it onto one hip. We say, well, that's more comfortable. No, it's not, because 30 seconds later, you're cocking it on the other hip. So stand up straight with your feet about shoulder width apart. That's a confident look. And people want to have confidence in us, because if they don't have confidence in us, they're not going to have confidence in what we're saying. The other thing is, take your hands out of your pockets. When we hide our hands, you use them. Like you've been using them as you've been speaking. I've been using them as I've been speaking. Use them as most people do. Now, if you flail them all over the place, which most people don't, but if you do, learn to control them. But other than that, for the most part, just use them as you normally would. Now, there are things you can do with your hands when you're speaking that might help you, but don't worry about that now. Just use them as you normally would. Just get them out of your pockets or out from behind your back. Because when we hide our hands at an unconscious level, the people looking at us wonder what we're hiding.
Mm.
Because they want to see our hands. It's important to communicate with your hands. So there's a reason that so many ethnicities, and I know I don't look Italian, but I'm Italian. My last name is actually Giosa. The ethnicities, whether Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, doesn't make a difference. Say, oh, we all speak with our hands. We can't talk if we don't use our hands. Well, there's reason people all over the world say that. Our hands matter. When we're on the phone, we use our hands. Catch yourself the next time when you're on the phone. You're gesturing with your hands and they can't even see you. So keep your hands where people can see them. Another one, look people in the eye. What your mom said was right. If you don't look them in the eye, they won't believe you. They'll mistrust you, whatever it might be. When you're speaking to them, look them in the eye. So it's all the simple things, but that shows that we have confidence. And what's funny about our bodies in the way it relates to our brains, when we feel we have confidence, we gain confidence. And when we gain confidence, we feel it and we look it. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Unfortunately, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy if we don't look confident.
Hmm.
And then we don't feel confident and people don't have confidence in us.
Hmm. So remember what your mom told you.
She was right. And awesome. I love my mom, but I look back and go, really? As a matter of fact, I just did a podcast episode, one of the quick bites, one of the 5-minute ones on top 10 things I learned from my mother about public speaking.
Oh, really? That's a perfect segue into where can they find that, the quick bite? And where can they find out more about you and your podcast? And if they're interested in learning more about public speaking?
Sure. The podcast is Public Speaking with Peter George. And like you said, I interview people on Mondays and I have a quick bite under 5 minutes on Thursdays. They can find that Apple, Spotify, Google, just about any place you listen to your favorite podcasts. And as for me, my website is Peter George Public Speaking. Kind of wraps it all up. And if your listeners go there, they can download more than 50 free public speaking tips. And they can just download that and that'll help them out some. And if they want to contact me, they can do that right through my website or just Peter at petergeorgepublicspeaking.com. And I'll be happy to talk to them. If someone has a quick question, say, oh, I do this. Is there anything you suggest? Contact me. I'll help you. And I won't send an invoice. If it's short and sweet, we'll keep it short and sweet and I'll help you with something because it's what I do for a living. I love to do it. I geek out on this stuff, which is kind of odd, but I do.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Peter, for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure. I learned a lot. Now, that was a value-packed episode. I can tell you from my personal experience working in corporate that there's a distinct difference between people that are focused on looking smart when they're speaking versus people that know what it is they want to communicate when they're speaking. If you want to make that leap and be an effective communicator, check out Peter George's website and his podcast. There are tons of resources that he's provided for free for you to grow in your public speaking journey. Now, as always, I have my key takeaways, but before we get into that, I want to share with you a clip from our episode with Adam Sinkus on building your online presence.
To kind of understand this, we have two types of keywords. We have short tail keywords, which is like a single word, like roofing. And then we have long tail keywords, which is like roofers near me, right? So it's actually a phrase. And so you can start with a single keyword and then start to expand that out into that long tail keyword. So roofers near me, roofing near me, roof repair near me. There's a kind of a longstanding joke. The marketer went to the bar, bars, restaurant, bar and pub,
If you enjoyed this episode with Peter George, I am sure you will also enjoy the episode with Adam Sinkes. Check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast. It is episode number 23. Now here are my key takeaways. Number one, start with understanding who you're speaking to and the result you want. This is a principle not just for public speaking, but also for effective marketing campaigns. Before you start creating copy and marketing material, start with understanding who your target audience is and what you want them to do. And number two, public speaking is about what you can take away. When you're speaking about your brand or giving a speech in general, you don't want to bore your listener. You want to chip away at your message until it's clear, concise, and it connects with the target audience. And that is it for this episode. If you enjoyed this discussion, please consider leaving a review and sharing with a friend who would benefit. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next week.